Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So I don't know what has happened, but the Sewage and Water Board met with the city council. And they had some questions about things, including why it's flooding so much in places where it didn't used to flood. Channel 4 ran another episode of their Down the Drain series. And it's an investigative report that's been going on for quite some time. And, you know, this is an example of how the media in general is not the enemy of the people. This is what the media does. And the media does a lot of things like this nationally and locally. They hold people accountable. Now, you may not like what is said. If you work for the Sewage and Water Board, you may not like what the media says. You may want to say all of that is fake news. But the rest of you like it because Channel 4, in this case, is holding the Sewage and Water Board and the city accountable for the flooding and for the problems. But Channel 4's report yesterday, this other segment of Down the Drain, made it seem as if there's progress being made and that the new administration, Mayor Cantrell's administration, and Corban, the new head of the Sewage and Water Board, it looks as if they're really serious about making changes and like some things have already started. This has been a problem for so long and was ignored by so many mayors and so many administrations that it's not going to take place. It's not going to change overnight. One thing that does have to happen, and the mayor can do a better job facilitating this, there needs to be better communication. And it's not her fault that there wasn't, but there needs to be better communication between the Department of Public Works and the Sewage and Water Board. And when it comes to government and bureaucracy, as detail-oriented as bureaucracies are, with all the paperwork and all the specifics of everything, bureaucracies don't have a really good job communicating with each other. And so we've got these two entities, and maybe there shouldn't be two. There are not two in Jefferson Parish, but there are two in Orleans Parish. And they need to do a better job of communicating with each other because some of this is the Department of Public Works. Some of it is the Sewage and Water Board. And so there needs to be more communication there. So look, let's hope there's change, but even if they start to manifest change right now, it's not going to change completely overnight. But I did get a positive feeling from the report on Channel 4 that there does seem to be progress. Now, Channel 4 and all of us as voters, we should hold the city and the Sewage and Water Board accountable for that change that should be taking place. Also, we're watching a tropical thing. Right now it's just like a low pressure system, Invest 95. And it looks like it's going to head into the Gulf of Mexico. They're not expecting this to develop. Yesterday, they weren't expecting it to develop at all. But now it looks like it has a chance of developing into a tropical something. And worst case scenario, it's a weak tropical storm. And most of the spaghetti models have it going to the east of us. But we'll check in with President Trump a little bit later, find out exactly where he thinks that storm is going to hit. Also, we are talking about today being 9/11. And this is a day that we all remember. I mean, I remember where I was. You remember where you were. And you saw what was happening, but you didn't really understand what was happening. And we all remember exactly how we felt that moment we realized what was happening. We were under attack. And I'm so proud of this country for the way we came together after 9/11. And there were people, there were liberals and progressives who hated George W. Bush. They thought he was an idiot. And yet, they supported the president. We came together. The sad thing is we've kind of separated again. And it shouldn't take something like that to bring us together because we really are such a cherished country in so many ways. Also, thinking about who we are not as a society and a country, it also ties into something else that has happened. It's a controversy that happened as a result of somebody compromising our Twitter account. And basically what happened, I'll be very brief. Basically what happened is Seth Dunlap, who is the host of Sports Talk, The Last Lap at Night. And Seth does Fans First Take before Saints games. Seth is a good sports broadcaster. And Seth fills in sometimes on Sports Talk in the afternoon. And he's really a real expert when it comes to, in particular, college basketball. But he knows sports. You may not always agree with him, but he's got his opinions. But he's a good broadcaster. Well, somebody compromised our account, and it looks as if somebody from WWL, it looks as if the station itself was using a derogatory term, the F word, to berate Seth, who is openly gay. Now, his show's not about him being gay, but he's openly gay. And then when I posted this video about profanity, which we talked about on the show yesterday, I had people posting a screenshot of that Twitter post that was up there, derogatory of Seth, really degrading. And look, this hurt the man. And this is not the first time something like this has happened to him or anybody like this. But there were people saying that, well, WWL must be homophobic. Well, of course, that is ridiculous because we hired him. He's on the air. And we knew he was gay. David Tyree was gay. We hired David Tyree. Many of you remember him. Very popular talk show host here on WWL who has since passed away from cancer. Intercom has a string of radio stations that are gay they're LGBTQ community stations. They focus on the LGBTQ community. So it is impossible to argue that we're homophobic. So the company is investigating. They put out a brief statement. Can't say very much about it because we don't know yet. But they're investigating. And hopefully they will find out who compromised that Twitter account. Because that is not who we are. It's not who this station is. It's not what this company is. And I'm very proud to tell you that. And when you think about how this really has hurt Seth, and again, this hurts everybody in this position. And I think about the frivolous stupidity of people, you know, wanting to call me gay. That it just shows you how ridiculous that is. Seth is like, I don't know, 6'7", and people mistake Seth for being straight. The way he dresses, the way he appears, he looks straight. People accuse me of being gay because of the way I dress and the way I look, and I'm straight. I had a great sit-down conversation on video with Seth Dunlap. It's about 30 minutes long. And we're going to put that up on the WWL.com website. And watch that whole show. And this is not just about Seth, but it's about people like Seth. And it's really about judgment. And I just found it interesting talking to Seth because here we are having this conversation. It's like people think he's straight, he's gay. People think I'm gay and I'm straight. And to me, it was really a magic conversation. So we'll share that with you, and as soon as it's posted, be looking for it on our website, WWL.com. And so we'll continue with this conversation, but I also want to talk about the anniversary of 9/11. If you're on hold, stay with us. Get to your calls here in just a moment. President Trump had this to say earlier today about 9/11 and what it means to all of us as Americans.
For every American who lived through that day, the September 11th attack is seared into our soul. It was a day filled with shock, horror, sorrow, and righteous fury.
And the president also talked about what America will do if something like this happens.
If anyone dares to strike our land, we will respond with the full measure of American power and the iron will of the American spirit.
Dan McNichol is a World Trade Center a recovery worker and a survivor. He talked about that day 18 years ago.
The actual day itself, it hit the fan. I was out here, saw the second jet, you know, hit the South Tower, people jumping from the north. I was in a building 18 stories up when the South Tower dropped. That was the second time that day I thought that it was over.
Do you remember how you felt? Do you remember that empty feeling that you had when you realized the United States of America was under attack? Remember George W. Bush was in the Keys in Florida. I think it was Key Largo, one of the Keys. And he was talking to like a grammar school, or he was before a grammar school class. And his, I guess it was his chief of staff, came and whispered something in his ear. And basically he was told the United States is under attack. And President Bush could not respond. He couldn't let anybody know what he was just told. And I remember him kind of like maybe sort of biting his lip or doing something like that. And I so respected him in that moment. And it wasn't long before they brought him out of there. And he couldn't go back to Washington because, well, people didn't know what was going to happen. Two planes hit the World Trade Center towers. A plane crashes in Pennsylvania. Another plane crashes in the Pentagon. What would be next? If I'm not mistaken, they flew President Bush to Barksdale's Air Force Base in Shreveport. And I don't remember how long he stayed there, but this was a really scary moment. And I remember how I felt. And it was a very empty, foreign feeling because we were a country that we thought nobody would dare attack our shores. But somebody did. And our country came together after that. And isn't it sad that here we are 18 years later and we're so divided? I love the passionate competition of politics. I love it. I'm a political junkie in many ways. And I enjoy the conversations here on the show. But there's a line beyond which we should not go when it comes to the quick judgment and the hate, which is part of everything we've been talking about this afternoon. And as individuals, we could all do a better job. We could do a better job of being passionate, believing what we believe in, standing up, arguing for what we believe in. Be passionate about that, but stopping short of just not looking at people as Americans first. Okay, so they did it on this day 18 years ago, and we struck back. The sad part of that is we're still in Afghanistan. And I think this is the longest running war in the history of the country. They hit us, but we hit back. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back. Today, we remember the anniversary of 9/11. It's September the 11th. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon. I remember that really empty feeling I had when I realized what was going on. And I'm sure you remember that feeling as well. You know, first you saw something happening and you're like, this isn't right. Something, oh, what happened here? And then it wasn't long before you realized we were under attack. And the concept of somebody attacking us on our own soil was just inconceivable to most Americans. Here's part of what the president had to say earlier today in remembering the anniversary of 9/11.
To each of you, the First Lady and I are united with you in grief. We come here in the knowledge that we cannot erase the pain or reverse the evil of that dark and wretched day.
If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. From Mid-City, Mary, welcome to WWL.
Hi, Scoot.
Hi.
I worked in the greater Boston area when this happened.
Uh-huh.
And wow. A lot of things had led up to this, and I kind of knew somehow or another, which I don't want to go into right now, that something was going to happen. And I was new before I walked up the stairs. And I walked in that classroom, and I, you know, the kids were coming in, and I just kind of stared at everybody. And I was trying to keep the tears back. And one student kind of looked at me like something's wrong with the teacher. And we had, you know, it was word of mouth from teacher to teacher not to say anything to the kids. This was a school that had 50.
Wait, I'm sorry, you're breaking up there.
It was an inner city school. Most of the kids were from the United States. Some were from Brazil. A great many were from Brazil. Some were from Haiti, and some were from the Dominican Republic. That was where most of the countries were. And I had everybody, all the teachers knew not to say anything. And finally the principal got on the PA system, and he said, "Boys and girls, our nation, the United States of America, has been attacked." It was just horrible. It was just horrible.
Now, we're talking about fifth graders. What was their instant reaction to that news?
I was just freaking out, you know. And I had bilingual kids. And that particular group was bilingual. And they were just freaking out. And, you know, everybody starts talking to each other like, what's going on? You know, it was horrible. And Jane Conaway came in. She predicted this was going to happen. She's the one that told me what happened. And Jane came in, and had a very calming effect. And she told them, she said, "Boys and girls, we're going to make a circle." And they had this peace circle that people did there, an Indian Native American custom. And we all got in a peace circle, and we talked and vented. And she was the ESL teacher. And mm-hmm. And then parents started coming and getting their kids and going home, you know, and the school was blocked off because there was a weird stuff going on. I lived on the border of Rhode Island and Massachusetts. I couldn't mm-hmm. go home because there were terrorists that lived in the town that I was working in. And all kinds of things happened. And one day we got a transfer student. And we had a science camp, and the principal and another teacher, we exchanged classes, said he wasn't allowed to go to science camp and because he was such a nervous person. So I went to him, and I said, "Look, they don't want to let you go to science camp because you're so nervous. What's going on?" And he said, "Teacher, I saw the plane go through the building." Because wow. He was in Newark, he saw it from where he was.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just a total basket case, very jittery. And I guess the parents thought maybe if they moved to Massachusetts, but this is where the terrorists were.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and
right.
And my car broke down one day, and I got a policeman to help me. And he said, he started telling me, he said, "This is where one of the terrorists lived." And he told me something, a designation of what the terrorists had been posing as when he moved and lived in that town. That was Ashland. I worked in Framingham. And I thought, oh, my word, I always had decals representing that particular thing that he was talking about. The hope, I don't have any decals on this old car that I had bought for a dollar from a preacher in Texas. I thought, no, I don't have any of those decals on my car because I didn't want to be a suspect, you know.
Yeah.
And anyway, there were people, terrorists posing as other nationalities. They had gone to the other countries and learned their languages, and because of their dark skin, they had passed as the other nationalities. And it was really a real scary time.
Yeah. Mary, I appreciate you sharing that with us, and I can hear the emotion in your voice. And, you know, by the way, it was not a coincidence that the terrorist selected American Airlines and United Airlines. I think they selected those because of what the names represent. American Airlines, the image of American Airlines, and United Airlines, like the United States of America. I don't think that was a coincidence. That's how calculated they actually were. From Houston, Larry, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
These people that's always talking about the Christians and all that, they really need to stop, because they really want to go by, none of them go right by the Bible. Yes, first of all. Because if any one of us live right by the Bible, believe me, a lot of people be gone. A lot of people would be gone. Because the things that cause you to sin, they tell you take it away. Your hand, if your hand doing something, your eyes do. So people need to stop this. This stuff about judging homosexuals or the else, we ought not to judge anybody. First of all, that ain't none of my business what they do.
That's right.
You know, that ain't none of my business what they do. As long as they ain't hurting me or ain't doing nothing to me, they living their life.
I agree.
They living. And now, as for 9/11, I'm a combat vet. People, y'all got to see what war, that was a little bit. And a war zone, just imagine. There's a storm that went from a highway on the highway going into Baghdad. Want to say probably from Houston to Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. See burned bodies, women holding their kids in cars. Mm-hmm. America needs to stop going to war against these people. Leave these people. We cannot force our culture on other cultures, period. Not everybody can do with a democracy.
Well, you're right, Larry. You know, it's interesting that President Trump fired John Bolton, his national security advisor, because John Bolton talked like he never heard of a war that he didn't love, and he was even very hawkish and he disagreed with President Trump because he wanted to go to war with everybody.
Yeah, for what Iran, he wanted to go. And I hope, like I said, I have two kids that went fighting wars, and I hope that nobody, war is ugly.
Yeah.
Ugly, real ugly.
Larry, we appreciate your service to our country, and I appreciate that call. But remember, we were told we were going to Iraq not to change the culture, but for weapons of mass destruction. We went to Afghanistan to retaliate against the Taliban, which was the organization behind the terrorist. Brian, welcome to WWL. Thanks for hanging on, Brian.
Hey, Stu, how are you?
I'm good.
I agree with the last caller and the lady who called before. What happened to us on 9/11 and to the younger generation that don't seem to understand, who probably were too young or the ones that weren't even born yet, because of what we're, the things that we are, being scrutinized by as far as what we can do and what we can't do, is because of 9/11. A lot of our ways of thinking and the way we used to do things has been compromised because of. And I understand, I'm not a supporter of, but I totally understand why the president now is trying so hard. He's probably going about it the wrong way with, according to the way he do things is the wrong way anyway, but I understand his way of wanting to try to secure our country, because we were very vulnerable. Very vulnerable. We allowing people coming in and out of this country, didn't care, just always happy, come on over, just, this is the land of the free, and not even thinking, we're this powerful nation, no one will ever attack us, and we all thought and felt that way. And now, look at the results we're living by. We're constantly living in fear. No, we probably will never see another plane. I pray to God we never do. We probably never see another plane crash into a building or any type of physical terrorism. But we're now being mentally terrorized because of what happened. Because now the terrorists got us right where they want us. Mentally, we're thinking about certain things. And we're being attacked mentally because, we can't do certain things now because of the reflection of what happened to before. And because, they only had a few people that may have killed themselves in those planes, but that was years and years of planning for that event that happened that day. And I truly believe that, and I hope I'm wrong, but I truly believe that those people are still, the other ones are probably still here in this country. Lackadaisical, like we are here, allowing people still to come in and out, doing the things that they do. When the president is trying his best, he may not be right about the way that he's trying to do it, but the reflection of 9/11 should also tell us that we should not be so lackadaisical, because 9/11 is a perfect example of what we are, you know, of being so openly to our borders and allowing people to come into this country. And I pray that we never see that again.
Brian, I join you with that that prayer. But there's something, you know, there's something a little more political about the motives of focusing on the southern border. But I totally agree that we cannot afford, I mean, I'm not for open borders. We can't afford to let everybody in this country. But the focus needs to be on all the ways people get into this country, and not just a disproportionate amount of focus on one part, because it's politically expedient to do that. But that's not really part of our conversation this afternoon. From Mid-City, Roddy, welcome to WWL. Hey, Roddy.
Hey, what's going on, Scoop?
Hey.
Hey, just wanted to say, I think at the time I was still in college, but I was also in the Marine Corps. I was a Marine Corps reservist, and I was in town. I was in New Orleans. I went to college 5 hours away, but I was in town making up a drill weekend. I think that was a Monday, and I missed drill that weekend. And I just remember walking in and everybody looking so grim, and I'm just like, what's going on? And, you know, finding that out, I was a young Marine at the time. I was about 19, maybe 20 years old. So I was angry. That's what I remember being, just anger. Yeah. So that my response was just, I just wanted to hop on. I knew there were other Marines out there. At the World Trade Center, at the Pentagon. My uncle was there, actually, at the Pentagon, and I just wanted to get out there. You know what I mean?
Roddy, I really appreciate your contribution to our country, and thanks for what you did, and I appreciate you sharing those thoughts with us. Do you know what changed 18 years ago today? The respect that America has for first responders. I mean, we always respected, there have always been people who've disrespected the police, but we've always appreciated what police and firefighters do, what emergency personnel do. We've always appreciated that. But it soared to a new level on 9/11, 18 years ago today. It soared to a new level because people saw the action. They saw them go into that building. And many of them were in there when the buildings came down. And we just really, as a country, collectively just had this new appreciation for first responders. And that was a flashpoint in time when it changed. And so today, think about all the things that we talk about, all the things that we do to recognize and appreciate first responders. And I don't remember that happening like this before 9/11. Nobody would have wanted 9/11 to happen, but let's also focus on some of the positive things that have resulted. Hey, if you've got a comment, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. If you're on hold, hang on. I'm Scoot. We're coming back on WWL. Hey, look, I love this country. I am a patriotic American and express my patriotism every afternoon from 1 to 4 right here on WWL, AMFMN.com. But I'm also honest enough to know that there are things we could do better, and we should. The video is posted. It's on our website now, WWL.com. I did a 30-minute video months ago with Seth Dunlap, and he's been the target of a hate tweet that appeared to come from WWL. Somebody compromised our WWL Twitter account. And it appeared to come from us. It was not us. It was somebody. It might be somebody here. It might be somebody outside. We don't know. But they're investigating, and we will find out who's responsible. But I thought this was a great time to introduce this video that I had on my website in the past. But now it's on the WWL.com website. And it's simply titled, Scoot and Seth Get Real. And it's a great conversation because, again, Seth is gay, but looks straight. I think I look straight, but people think I look gay. And they think I'm gay because of the way I look, and I'm straight. And so we had this great 30-minute conversation, and you can view the whole thing on the website, WWL.com. And it just shows Seth, and not just Seth, but it shows people like this and what they go through and what they deal with and how they're treated differently. And it really shows Seth in a very, very human light. And it should. And so I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud to share that with you. From Covington, Joe, welcome to our show.
Hi, how you doing? I was just calling because I'm a 36-year veteran of New Orleans Fire Department. And at the time, I was a district chief, and, you know, we saw what happened and all like that. And I was just talking about the firemen that went up there to fight that fire.
Mm-hmm.
From my view, it was impossible, and in their hearts, I know it was, that they would come back. Because a fire of that magnitude and that high rise, it's just unimaginable. And the two fires I feared the most in my career were high rise and a ship fire. And I just wanted to say, you know, those guys went way, way beyond the call of duty. And, you know, I just say a prayer for them every night.
Well, Joe, I appreciate that respect. And a lot of first responders would go do that because it's your job. And you think sometimes in situations like that, people think about doing their job first. And they think about the possible consequences next. And that's why we have so much respect for you and all first responders.
Exactly. And, you know, at the time, it was unbelievable the gratitude. People would come to the firehouse and bring us cake and cookies. Yeah. And at that time, showing you know, the people in New Orleans, how much they appreciated us.
But isn't it interesting, Joe, that was the moment 18 years ago, that was the moment that this country just suddenly changed and had a new level of respect for all first responders.
It was unbelievable. And in May, I went to see the memorial that was finished, and it brought tears to my eyes to see, you know, and it's almost like, you know, I could feel it in my heart all over again, looking at that, you know, what destruction inside the museum.
Well, Joe, thank you for your service.
Now, thank you for your show, because I always enjoy do it.
Appreciate
and
that.
Keep it going because it's really good. Thank you so much.
Joe, thanks a lot, and thank you for your service, and thanks to all the first responders. Hey, LSU fans, don't miss the Ed Ogeron Show. It is tonight, talking about the Fighting Tigers. Coach O, 7 o'clock tonight on Tiger Radio right here on WWL, AMFMN.com. If you haven't done it yet, download the radio.com app. You can listen to us anytime, anywhere, on any device. All you have to do is just make us, WWL, your favorite. Download the app, radio.com. So much of what we talk about should instill in us the idea that we have power. And we're so quick to feel helpless. We're so quick to think that we can't do anything. We can do things. We can be better people. We can treat each other like Americans first, and Republicans and Democrats second. We could just do a better job of recognizing what the First Amendment really stands for. And we can vote. And don't be afraid to vote somebody out of office. You know, people are so intent on voting for the incumbent in general that it has led us to where we are today. Because it is with our votes that we hold politicians accountable. I'm Scoot. It's Wednesday, and we're coming back. This is WWL. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. These guys are live at Best Chevrolet on Veterans and Metairie. It's a member of the Benson Automotive family of dealerships. QB to QB with Drew Brees, and then one-on-one with LSU head coach Ed Ogeron, and your calls, and then the Ed Ogeron Show at 7 o'clock tonight. And there's so much to be excited about with LSU football and Saints football. And, you know, look, Tulane did as good as it could, as good as they could against a tough SEC team in Auburn. We'll have a lot to talk about on our show tomorrow. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Ty Manassas, and our studio producer, Ian Hoke. Thank you for being part of the show. Remember, join me on Facebook. It's SOTA, Scoot on the Air. And don't forget to check out the video with Seth Dunlop. And it's on our website, WWL.com. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.